I'm Stephanie Wilson, and you're listening to Freedom Over Fascism.
And we started talking about the value of freedom, which Americans love, right? Like we hold that to be dear in our hearts, regardless of your party or your faith or where you come from. It's just such an American value. And, you know, the data show that you should connect with folks in a values-based way before you start talking with them about issues. You have to be able to connect. You have to be able to humanize all of it. And so we talk through this framework called the freedom to be healthy, prosperous, and safe. And we say that Florida House Democrats, we believe that every Floridian deserves the freedom to be healthy, prosperous, and safe.
Hey there, friends. I hope you were able to take a few days or even more to refresh yourself through the holidays. I also took a couple weeks off, celebrated my son's 16th birthday, hung out with family, and read lots of fiction. It's not that I ignored the world completely, but I took some time to focus on the people I love and who love me. Being immersed in the intense world of fighting against the fascist tide in the United States is draining, and we're in for a long, hard fight. So let's talk about what's going on in 2024 and how this podcast fits in. We're fighting for freedom on a lot of fronts this year, so let's take it from the top. Much of the public discussion this year will be on the presidential election between President Biden and most likely former president and insurrectionist Donald Trump. We won't focus on the presidential race that much on this podcast. There are plenty of other podcasts and publications that concentrate on the national level. What is important to discuss here is how we talk about the national picture and how it relates to our lives. The first thing to keep in mind is that we need to keep our focus on the stakes of the presidential race, not the odds. Horse race polls are meaningless. The most important thing to know is what's in store if Donald Trump or any of the other Republicans were to win the presidency. And that is full-blown dictatorship. I've talked about Project 2025 here before, and we'll talk about it a lot more, because I don't think that many folks out there who aren't like us, who follow every twist, turn, vote, and poll, have any idea what the radical right wing is planning. We'll discuss these plans in more depth in the year to come, but we'll spend most of our time on this podcast talking about MAGA-captured states and how we can fight the forces of fascism around the country. We'll talk to elected officials, candidates, advocacy organizations, analysts, authors, and many more folks who can both provide insight into what's going on in red areas around the country and how each of us can contribute to fighting for freedom. Whether we live in red states, blue states, battleground states, cities, rural areas, and everything in between, we'll need to work together and reach out to all the people we know, especially those who aren't dialed in to every twist and turn, to keep the fight alive for freedom. Also, I'd like to ask for your help introducing this podcast to a couple of new people every week to try to equip as many people as possible with the tools to fight for freedom in their area. I'm also asking your help in supporting the podcast. I've asked in every episode, but I'll be spending a lot of time this year trying to expand the podcast and support for it. So please help out by joining our Patreon, subscribing to freedomoverfascism.substack.com, or contributing at our brand new website, www.freedomoverfascism.us. I also ask your help in introducing me to people and organizations around the country who are doing great work and help inspire us to more effective action. Today's conversation is with Fentress Driscoll, the Florida State House Minority Leader. Our conversation focuses on the freedom agenda, something we talk a lot about on this pod, and how Floridians can fight the fascism of Ron DeSantis and his party. We'll focus more specifically on how to talk about the freedom to be healthy, prosperous, and safe. Fentress Driscoll is one of the most inspiring and interesting Democratic leaders I've seen anywhere in the country. I think we can all learn a lot from her. Here's a little of her background. Fentress Driscoll was born in Winter Haven, Florida, to African-American parents. She attended Harvard University, where she worked her way through college and was elected as the first Black student to serve as president of the student government. After earning her law degree from the Georgetown University Law Center, she returned to Florida and soon ran for House District 67 and regained the seat for Florida Democrats. I'll put all of Fentress Driscoll's contact information in the show notes. So without further ado, here's our conversation. Fentress Driscoll, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Stephanie. I really appreciate it.
I am so excited to talk to you today. We have been talking on the show for a long time about the freedom agenda and how Americans respond to freedom as their most important value. We've talked about it in a lot of contexts, especially with Anant Shankar Osorio, who I look to for messaging because she's, I think, a genius. And I would love to know how you are thinking about freedom in Florida and how you're thinking about the message, the policy, and how to operationalize the message.
So thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And I think more important, thank you so much for just having this conversation. I'm actually a big fan of Anant. I was like, wait a minute, I think that was a podcast I used to listen to. And actually that was very inspirational to me as I was trying to think through, okay, how can we improve our messaging in Florida? And there were a couple things happening at around that time. I was listening to Anant's podcast is one of them. So shout out to Anant. Second is that I was talking to a friend of mine, and that friend said, you know, I really think that we got to think about how to connect with people in a values-based way. And we started talking about the value of freedom, which Americans mm-hmm. love, right? Like we hold that to be dear in our hearts, regardless of your party or your faith or where you come from. It's just such an American value. And, you know, the data show that you should connect with folks in a values-based way before Absolutely. You start talking with them about issues. You have to be able to connect. You have to be able to humanize all of it. And so we talk through this framework called the freedom to be healthy, prosperous, and safe. And we say that Florida House Democrats, we believe that every Floridian deserves the freedom to be healthy, prosperous, and safe. And it sounds like such a simple frame, Stephanie, but what it's been able to allow us to do is that our members who are more moderate can use it. Our members who are more progressive can use it. Every Democrat can use it. Anybody could use it. Really, any policy that you can think of, you could wrap it up with a beautiful bow called freedom to be healthy, prosperous, and safe. And lo and behold, the more that we say that, the more we are actually singing from the same hymn book. And lo and behold, like we actually have uniform messaging, and it actually polls really well.
Right. And it's so important to sing from the same hymn book because, as Anant often says, a message that isn't heard is by definition not effective. So it has to be repeated to be effective. And you need to get to somebody on an emotional level, much more than any sort of policy level when you are looking to elect people. You know, policy comes later, but the most important thing is to first get people into office. And I think it's amazing that it has popped up this freedom frame. Joe Biden has used it. Shapiro has used it. Fetterman was using it. We used it a little bit in Indiana where it hasn't yet been operationalized and I think could really use it. But I think it's really starting to take hold across the country. And the Republicans don't have a lock on freedom. In fact, everything they stand for is against freedom. So we need to be owning that. And I think you're doing an amazing job of setting out a framework that works that way.
Well, thank you for that. And you know my state. You know where I'm at. You see what Florida's been up to. Like you see,
oh yes,
Americans, right? Like, you know, we've got a governor. I always like to say he's so obsessed with woke that he's asleep at the wheel, and right. He tries to spin his policies. He tries to spin these policies that would suppress our stories, right? Whether it's taking mm-hmm. Taking away the rights of Black voters in North Florida to elect the candidate of their choice to Congress because he's suppressing them through the redistricting process, or taking away mm-hmm. a woman's right to choose, or telling classroom teachers what they can and cannot say when it comes to our LGBTQ community, right? Like you could pick telling businesses what they can mm-hmm. and cannot do. We saw the big fight with Disney. You know, we see what they're doing with ESG. So this is a governor who has systematically suppressed our stories and really tried to take away our freedom to be who we are, right? Just let people be, let kids be kids. You know, let's make sure we're teaching accurate history, let businesses run themselves the way that they need to. It's just been astonishing the way that they've been able to try and spin this as a freedom narrative. But what we found that when we offer our counter freedom narrative, we're actually able to beat them. We're actually able to beat them with a narrative that's actually about true freedom and helping people to lead better lives.
Well, that's so important, because everything between your governor and all the MAGA people across the country, they speak in such Orwellian terms, right? Up is down, dark is light, and they tell you that it's all about freedom, but really they're all about control and power. And so I think people understand that. And the people who are genuinely MAGA Republicans, we're not going to reach. But the people who are looking for a way to make their lives better, because they're the protagonists here, right?
Right.
They're the ones that are the center of the story. So if we can actually make them the center of the story and show them how we can help them attain freedom, especially as it relates to their bodies and their kids, mm-hmm. then I think we've got something winning there. And Florida's shown it. I mean, your special elections have really proven that it's more than just polling. It's at the polls as well.
That's right. That's right. In fact, we have a special election that's coming up in a House seat. It's House District 35, which for those of you out there, it's Orange County and Osceola County, which you're probably wondering, where is that? Okay, so it's like in the Orlando area in Central Florida. And this is a seat that was held by a Republican member. He's since been appointed to be a college president, and now the seat is vacant. And this really should be our seat. I mean, the polling looks good, I think, but for this person who occupied it previously, who was popular in the community, this probably would be a Democratic seat. But we cannot take it for granted. It's actually a real lesson in being able to apply what we're learning about messaging. You know, as we're knocking doors, the issues people want to talk about most, they want to talk about access to abortion, and they mm-hmm. want to talk about housing affordability. Florida has some of the highest property insurance rates in the country. Actually, we did have the highest. People feel like the American dream is slipping from their grasp. And then with respect to abortion, the legislature recently passed a 6-week abortion ban. And it's like one of these, they call it like a trigger bill, a trigger law, depending on what happens with a court case that's litigating over a 15-week ban, that 6-week ban might go into effect immediately, pending the outcome of that case. So it's one of the most extreme bans in the country. Most women don't even mm-hmm. know they're pregnant at 6 weeks. So we're having the opportunity to get on the ground, knock the doors, talk to people, find out what's important to them, and have these conversations leading with that value of freedom to try to win some voters to our side.
I think Republicans underestimated how important bodily freedom is to people. And as we know, in places like Florida and Indiana and all the places where MAGA has a majority or supermajority at the state level, they have imposed these bans. And when voters are given a chance to really say what they want regarding abortion and reproductive freedom, they have chosen reproductive freedom every time. So I think it's one of those values that once you start talking about what it really means, and that if the other side has their way, they're sitting there in the exam room with you, I think that that is a really compelling, it's not just a story, it's people's lives.
No, I mean, you're so right. I mean, these are such personal decisions. These are personal healthcare, medical decisions of the heart and the home and a family. And government has no business being in the exam room with patients. You mentioned the term Orwellian, like we do not want Big Brother in the exam room with us trying to make decisions about our family.
So talk to me about the American dream and the property values and taxes? And how does that play out in the context in Florida?
Yeah. So, you know, with Florida being prone to hurricanes as we are and to natural disasters, you know, we're prone to saltwater intrusion and sea level rise. I mean, we are ground zero for climate rescue needs. So it's just very expensive to insure homes in Florida. We've got a lot of property along the coast. Meanwhile, we have the largest population of seniors in the country. So folks who oftentimes are income restricted, right? They're in their later years in life, not a part of the workforce. You've got problems with inflation in Florida, whereas inflation rates have come down really mostly everywhere else in the country. They've not really come down in Florida. And so prices continue to rise while wages are stagnant. Meanwhile, we have an affordable housing crisis. The legislature, in its wisdom years ago, established something called the Sadowski Affordable Housing Trust Fund. And this is a trust fund where basically certain doc stamps go into this fund every time there's a sale of property. And that's money that's supposed to be directed to investing in and building affordable housing. Well, the Republicans over the years have basically used it as a slush fund for other projects. And so now we find ourselves with a housing shortage. So prices are higher. Inventory is lower. It's expensive to insure us in the first place because of natural disasters. And so you have all this confluence of factors, this confluence going on, and it just makes it a really difficult market. And people cannot always afford their home insurance. So they want to buy a home, but then you have to be able to protect it through insurance and it's too high, but then rents are high. And so it's just a really bad cycle that folks are in. I mean, just one personal story, my former legal assistant actually wound up moving, she and her family, to Delaware because she's approaching retirement age and she's thinking about where she can afford to live a good, high quality life. And it was the property insurance rates that were too high. She's like, I mean, I can't do this on a retirement income. Like we're moving out of state. And I know other people have had to make that choice as well.
So do you think that people moving out of state is a concern that transcends the property insurance? I mean, what do you see happening with families of trans kids or people in the LGBTQ community with all of these laws outlawing the freedom to live an authentic life? Do you see a lot of people in the LGBTQ community actually leaving Florida, or are they trying to stick it out and change things? What's the status of the folks there who these laws really affect?
Yeah, it's a mix, and it breaks my heart to tell you so, because we should not have any family who feels like they have to move, pick up their life, right, and move to another state in order to protect their kids and to make sure that their family's protected. I was honored to recently meet a man named Jordan, who's a proud gay man and married, and they have family, they have kids, and he had to make a decision for his family, and they made the decision to move to Colorado because they did not want their children to have to grow up in this hateful, politically charged atmosphere that's been ginned up by DeSantis in the effort to aid his political ambitions in his run for president. And no family should have to make a decision like that, right? Like they should just be trying to make sure their kid's in a good school and is kept safe. But this is what we've been driven to in Florida.
Do you think with all of these special elections, are you making progress in terms of changing the political landscape, or are you just at the beginning of that process?
Yeah, well, we hope to. So there was recently a special election for a House seat down in South Florida. It was House District 118. And this is a district that Trump won handily. He won it handily. Like this is just a super red district in South Florida. But we actually saw a 24-point swing, I believe, in our way in terms of Democrats. Now, we didn't win the seat. But what it shows us, I hope it's a harbinger of things to come, it's that the political climate is changing. Because see, what the Republicans didn't count on is that all of these culture wars have a built-in economic cost. So while DeSantis is focused on LGBT, don't say gay, while he's focused on abortion, all of these things, people are frustrated and fed up. They're like, I can't eat that. I can't pay my property insurance bill with that. I can't pay my utilities bill with your red meat. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a real opportunity for Democrats in Florida. And I know there are a lot of folks out there that say Florida is dead. We don't have a pulse. Not true. Not true. Florida is not a red state. It's a state where we get politicked. Politicked. And I have a friend who says that. She's like, not politicked, you're politicked.
Right. Know? We also say that a lot of these states aren't red states. They're rigged states because of the gerrymandering and tricks, right?
I think that these special elections are important. I think that we really have the chance to win the one in Central Florida. I think we need people's help. That's why I'm so glad to be able to, you know, mention this on your podcast. We want people to pay attention to what's happening here. You know, help out if you can. You can even volunteer remotely these days. You know, we need folks to help reach out to voters and remind them of the special election, which is like on a Tuesday after a holiday weekend. It's also the day after the Iowa caucuses, mind you. Keep in mind, the governor's the one who sets these election dates. So I think, you know, that's interesting timing. So in any event, you know, we really want to change the narrative and be a part of this national story of what's happening with these special elections, where people are frankly tired of extremism and they're rejecting it and seeing that Democrats actually do have something good to offer.
I think that is one of the most inspiring things I've seen over the last couple of years, is that, you know, there's all this doom and gloom with the polls, which I encourage everybody to completely ignore any horse race polls right now, because they're totally meaningless. Because the national media, and I think a lot of the local media, focus so much on the odds rather than the stakes. And there might be a little bit coming around, but we really need to focus. And I think in places like Florida and Indiana and Missouri, people know what the stakes are because they're living the stakes. But it's people who might volunteer, send money. I actually live in Massachusetts, but I adopted a red state because that's where our voices are needed the most. Because it's regular people. You know, there's a 30% group of people that are true believers, and we're never going to reach them. But I don't believe that much in undecided voters. I think people know what they want. It's a question of whether they think they have enough power that going to the polls means something, right? I talked to Andrea Miller of Center for Common Ground, and she says, hungry people don't vote. If their basic needs are not being met and government has never worked for them in the past, they're not going to go out to vote. But if you find a way to figure out what the communities need and provide that, then they have a stake in an election and they can see what their voice can actually do. And I think a lot of these special elections and the importance of being at the doors shows people that their voice can actually make a difference. Right? Because that's internalized voter suppression, right? All of this gerrymandering and voter suppression.
Yes.
Yes, you know, they make it hard to actually go to a polling place and it's only open certain hours. But the internalization of that, that my voice doesn't matter, will never matter, nothing I do can change things, I think is more of a problem. I call that the people are deciding between the couch and the voting booth. Right? You have to beat the couch a lot of the time. So, right? Because people who don't think that they have a say, why should they bother? They got work. It's a Tuesday. It's, you know, a lot of these states make it very difficult to get to the polls before, you know, before they get out of work or make vote by mail so hard. So I think a lot of what we need to do is A, talk to people in person, and B, help convince them that what they say and how they vote really can make a difference.
So, Stephanie, we must be kindreds because I'm like, get out of my head. Like, you are stabbing my pain with your fingers, girl. So, I learned about a statistic recently that said that it was a recent poll that 62% of Americans said they could make a corporation pay attention to them as its customer. Like, if they made enough noise, they could get somebody to pay attention. Only 4% of Americans believe they can do the same with their government.
Mm-hmm.
4%. And that is a statistic that breaks my heart because it conveys people don't think that they matter.
Right.
They don't think that they matter. They don't think they matter to their government. They don't think their government cares about them or listens to them or really wants to help them. And that is heartbreaking because let me tell you, people matter to me. It is why I do this job, right? Like, it's not for the money. Like, we don't really get paid very much to do this, right? Like, you still have to maintain another job or have some other source to be able to take care of yourself and your family. Like, I do this every day in a super minority, getting up and sometimes feeling like I'm running into a brick wall just to try to be that voice for the people and to stand up for what the people need, those issues like property insurance, housing affordability, making sure our public schools are good, making sure people don't have to feel so afraid of being a victim of gun violence if they go to the grocery store or their place of worship or the movie theater. Like, this is where the people are at. And I just love what you said about that. You know, we have to beat the couch. We do. And that means we have to meet people where they are. We have to get out into the community. We have to talk to people. We have to like raise the energy
mm-hmm.
because frankly, politics is all about vibes. Are people feeling it or not? And if they can't see you, they can't feel you. They can't hear you. They can't feel you. Right. We got to shift some things around. I mean, the other thing you said, you were talking about, I love that you have adopted MAGA captured state. I think that is what we need to happen. So for all you listeners out there in Massachusetts and California and Colorado and all these beautiful blue utopias, remember your friends in Florida. Like, we need you. I need you. I cannot do this on my own. We have good things going here, but we need our national partners. So reach out to me on social media. Honestly, I'm at Fentress4FL across all platforms, and I can tell you how to get involved. I mean, yeah, my website is fentressforflorida.com. Like, we need you because democracy is at stake, and we see how precarious things are for Democrats. We will need another state in order to secure electoral margins in the presidential election. Mm-hmm. I get it. Some folks made a calculus last cycle. They figured we could win it without Florida. They did. But I don't know that it will always be that way. And we need Florida and her electoral votes. We have nearly 30 electoral votes. We can't just let that fall by the wayside.
Exactly. And we know what they plan to do if they win the presidency. And even though I am all about state level politics, because that's where, as David Pepper said, that's where autocracy is living right now. Mm-hmm. It's in Florida, it's in Indiana, it's in Ohio, in Missouri, and Iowa, and Arkansas. I mean, that's where they have autocracy and learn what they can actually get away with, especially if they have supermajorities, right? I'm not sure whether you have, you know, are able to break quorum. But in a lot of places, the Democrats can't even break quorum to slow things down. And then they put out this Project 2025, which is something that I am bound and determined that everybody in this country understands what the plan is if Trump or another Republican is going to win at the national level, at the presidency. They're going to put troops on the streets. They are going to ban abortion, which is already banned in a lot of places, but ban it nationally. That's their first promise. They're going to weaponize the DOJ, which they've already claimed that the Democrats are doing, but are not. And that's going to be the last national election. They're going to replace the entire civil service with loyalists. That's it. That's the ball game. And unfortunately, every single election is the ball game right now. And that makes it really hard to keep up our energy. But, and I say this every single time, hope is an action verb. You inspire hope in others by doing things, but you inspire hope in yourself by taking action. And so yeah. I want to repeat your call for people to adopt Florida or any state that you feel a kinship to, because it takes people with a little bit of hope and some time to really reach people.
Yeah. And I would just, and thank you for repeating that call. You know, I would just say, yeah, I agree. Hope is an action verb. And I tell people a couple things. The first is that politics requires you to have a little bit of memory, like elections do. You know, people get mm-hmm. really mad about bills when they pass, or they come to Tallahassee where our capital is and they protest. And I'll talk to these groups and I say, this is great. I just need you to hold this until November 5th, 2024.
Right.
Like, I need you to hold this. And similarly, you know, when things happen just after an election and they're like, well, how did this bad bill pass? I'll say, well, your anger is misplaced in time. The time for you to have been angry was before the election, right? Like, we have right. to hold this, and it's exhausting. It can feel like fatigue. But the reality is, you do not have to have a cape to be a superhero. I think sometimes because the problems are so outsized, we think that the solutions are big and outsized. No, no, no. The solutions are intangible, measurable steps. By voting, by making sure everyone in your household has voted, by calling some friends and make sure that they have voted, and then encouraging them to do the same. We can do this. We can vote our way out of this problem. And for our young people who are listening, my young millennials, the Gen Zers, you can change the world in a single election if you so choose. You are the sleeping giant in all of this. And I cannot wait to see what you will do, because you deserve a world that is better than what has been left to us right now. But it will take all of us working together to turn this around.
Absolutely. I think in the last election, it was maybe the midterms, the Gen Z vote canceled out the boomer vote.
Yeah. Entirely, yes. Right?
But in places like Florida and Indiana, and where they're making it extra hard for college students, you know, Michigan, where you saw the lines around the corner, that's inspiring. But the places that need it the most make it the hardest to vote. And so you have to have a little bit of extra push, but it's so important. And we can't get distracted by things we really can't control out there in the world. We have to be really super focused on what's going on in this country, because that's where we live. And in the state, right? And in this district, it is so local. And you know, we all heard Tip O'Neill in the, you know, back there in the dark ages, politics is local. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But really, it is, right? Your reality is different from mine because of where you live. And that is wrong.
Yeah.
Right? That is not okay.
It's not okay. You might even say that every American deserves the freedom to be healthy, prosperous, and safe, right? Like, to bring it full circle,
right.
You know,
absolutely.
Regardless of your state or zip code, people deserve a good, high quality public education.
Right.
It's a great equalizer in our country. And we have watched it become, in so many places, privatized and for profit. I mean, that's what's happening in Florida. We had this expansion of a voucher bill, for example, that's quite like what they did in Arizona, where literally any family can get like an $8,000 voucher to go towards private schools. Well, we're hearing reports, we heard over the summer, that some families were using that for vacations and to buy big screen TVs. And frankly, a lot of the folks who are getting this money didn't really need it. And so this is hundreds of millions of dollars that could have gone towards our traditional public schools and giving our kids a fighting chance. Like, you know, people should not have to be limited based on where they live. As a woman, I should not be less free when I cross state lines.
Right.
Okay. Like, that's a problem. You know, in Florida, we even had this very bad, like, just draconian immigration bill that's so bad that if you're transporting somebody maybe over state lines, let's say you're in a church van and you know going on a visit up to Georgia and somebody in your vehicle is undocumented, you could be arrested. I mean, we need to stop with this. It's foolishness, it's distractions, and we need to get back to the issues that matter to American voters, which are the same issues that matter to Florida voters. You know, how are you improving my quality of life? How are you going to be there for me? How are you going to show me that I matter to you?
Right. And let's stop talking about the economy. Like, let's excise it from our vocabulary, because people don't care about the economy. They care about their lives and whether they have enough money to put dinner on the table, to pay the rent, to pay for their kids' extracurriculars. You know, it's not about GDP. I mean, in the big sense, yeah, it is. But, you know, our neighbors don't really care about GDP when, okay, I'll just make this personal. I don't care about GDP when my husband's laid off, right?
Yeah.
And that's less interesting to me than whether he's going to find a job. I think if we really think about how are the voters really at the center of this, and we can do a lot more and go a lot further. And as we said, talk to them in person if possible, right? I feel like every door in America needs to be knocked on.
Yes. No, that's true. And something else you said, though, is you were talking about the economy. You're right. I would say, like, people care about my DP. Like, they want to know what's happening, right? It's like in my budget. But then that spurned another thought, which Future Majority does really great research on this. I commend to anybody to look at it. It's on their website. They make it all freely available. It's so great for the left and for the center left. They talk about making the American worker the hero of the story again. Right.
Absolutely.
And that that resonates with me so much. I think about, you know, my own upbringing, right? Like I think about my mom, who was a teacher and who was in a union her whole life. You know, my dad, who worked for a supermarket chain. Like, I feel like we've lost the thread, if you will, on what's happening with the American worker. What are folks' reality? And rather than make those arguments about the economy the hero of the story, or the moral of the story, we need to make the American worker the hero again.
Absolutely. And on that note, I want to thank you so much for coming on this podcast. Is there anything that you want to say to the listeners out there?
Thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed the conversation. It went so fast.
I know.
I would say that Florida is not dead. There are Democratic leaders in this state who have competent plans to help turn things around. We do need your help. So please reach out to me. Again, you can find me on social media at Fentress4FL. That's FENTRICEFORFL. Heck, you can reach out to me over email. You can reach out to me at info@fentressforflorida.com. We would certainly appreciate your engagement and your help. And if there are any Florida listeners out there, I just want to let you know to have hope and that help is on the way.
Well, we do have Florida listeners. It's one of our it's one of our bigger states where we have listeners. So everyone, please be in touch and adopt Florida if you don't live there already, and get involved if you do. So thank you. And this was really a great conversation.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Over Fascism. And thank you to our editor, Benji Wilson. Please join our Patreon at patreon.com/freedomoverfascism. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please drop us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. We thank you for choosing freedom over fascism.